Hey.
BJ Morgan Show. This is a BJ Morgan Show. BJ Morgan Show. This is a BJ Morgan Show.
Hey, what do you know? It's a cowboy version of me. Right.
Hey.
I just want to see how many sound effects I can get in there. Guys, I started watching a show. I'm trying to participate in the TV evenings with my lover more.
Okay.
Remember, lover's the name for my girlfriend, fiance, wife, whatever the hell I want to call it. It just sounds cooler saying lover.
Does it?
No, it sounds horrible.
It's bizarre, cringe, dude. It's bizarre.
It's cringe and bizarre because it's annoying when people talk about their partners. It's just annoying. Or am I just so?
Is it?
Or am I just so hookup centric? I don't want to think about other people's.
Maybe I don't know.
I want Matt all to myself. Anyhow, I've been watching the show Baby Reindeer. It's really good.
It's very good.
And I didn't realize the dude that stars in it is the dude that actually all this stuff happened to.
Do we know that?
Yes. He did a one act play about that, and it's him.
Right, but I heard that he did the play based on a story told to him by somebody else. And that's why he's asking, please don't go looking for the person, because the person wants to remain anonymous.
No, I think it was
his name is Richard Gadd. The series is based on his real life experience of being stalked and assaulted.
Yeah. All
right. Wikipedia is true.
This is new enough. I'm not going to spoil anything, like how Matt, when we were talking about Western Wednesday, wouldn't let me explain what the three tropes of the three Clint Eastwood Dollar Trilogy movies were.
Yeah, man, some people have different layers or different...
60 years old.
Okay.
And it's been replicated in so many films. It's one of the most famous parts of Back to the Future 3. But no, Matt won't let me talk about it.
Well, then why wouldn't you want him to experience that for his first time, even after 60
years?
He
doesn't like people to have their own organic ways of experience.
Because he should have watched that one first. If you're watching...
See, exactly. You should have. See what he's doing?
Right.
He's mad that I haven't experienced the world the same way he has.
I know what
All
is the better
like
way
to
do something.
Things are have control issues.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Or like to... present something in a way that is going to be a superior experience.
What?
Anyhow, Matt, I didn't want to spoil it. I'm sorry, but I won't spoil Baby Reindeer.
Thank
man,
you.
It is, I will say from, my lover, she's a stand-up comic. I'm a radio dude. We both had some issues with stalking, and there are some...
You, is that how you met your lover? You stalked her?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Finally, no.
I know you didn't.
But there are some uncomfortable moments, and there is a realism with this that is so... awkward,
really?
And it just makes me like tense up because it's so like my God, I've been through this. And she has too, and we kept watching, and finally, he's like, I'm gonna go play with Legos.
Yeah.
I can't handle it. I gotta get out of here. But it is it's not something for. It's not fun for the whole family. I've never had a show other than like if I watch a horror movie where I'll have weird dreams. The one where the girl's head pops off on a telephone pole and becomes meme. Hellraiser stuff have given me weird dreams.
No documentaries.
But I've never had anything that they'll do trigger warnings, which I think are kind of corny. I've never had anything viscerally trigger me.
Really?
And this show did.
Do you have a?
It absolutely did. It made me like think and be like, oh, this makes me uncomfortable.
Well, do you have epilepsy? Because I feel like those trigger warnings are pretty
photosensitive.
I mean,
this
people,
is
you know
more,
what I mean?
This is more
it's
like,
good to have some trigger warnings.
This is more like trauma-induced trigger, and I've never had that. And there's been shows we've watched before that my lover's been like, hey, do we need to turn this off? I'm like, no, it's cool. And then sometimes I just don't like to watch. I'm just like, I don't care. But this one was like, oh, damn, like everything in the show is so real. And one of the big things, and this isn't exactly what translates to the show, but I remember we had someone at the radio station that thought we were talking to that person,
right.
And we weren't.
Right.
But that person would show up. And one time showed up and was very confrontational and aggressive. And the venue where we were at got upset at me. And it felt like, and then,
the
victim
blame.
Like someone there had called the police and the police were like, well, what happened? What'd you do? What are you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, nothing. And they were like, well, there's not really much we can do unless you want to do a restraining order. But even then, we can't do blah, blah, blah. And we can't ban this person from the premises where, we had like a row of events coming up at the same place at the same time. And it just made me feel like so angry and alone and alienated. It started making me feel crazy. And it just sucked because, again, it was like I'm in radio, so I have to kiss ass to get us paid to be at this event. But then the venue's mad at me. The sales team's mad at me. Like, I'm in effing trouble because someone out there is having issues. And
maybe you're sending the wrong thing into the universe, because I was approached once and they said, look, it's none of our business. We just want to help you out. But in case your wife is headed here, your girlfriend has shown up. And I said, pardon? I said, your girlfriend. She said that she'd be on your tab, your girlfriend. And I was
I
was like, I don't have a girlfriend. And they opened a door and they showed me and said, that person right there. And I was like, I've never seen that person in my life. And they had shown up and said, well, I'm supposed to have a comp here. I'm Matt Bearden's girlfriend. And then they sat there and I was like, no, that is not a. And they said, would you like her to be escorted out? And I said, well, I'm not super comfortable with her being here seeing. I was like, I don't know who that person is. She started coming to a lot of things that I did. And I had to eventually just say, look, we don't know each other, young lady.
Kudos to the comedy club for like having your back. But also, now that you tell that story, your wife's got to be kind of pissed that the comedy club's like, hey, your girlfriend's here in case your wife's coming. That's kind of tough.
Can I just say, had she been hot, the whole thing would have been treated differently.
It's very different. I'm going to be honest, actually, no. That makes it more tough and confusing. That really adds another layer.
How come I don't have a stalker is what I want to know.
We'll get you one. We'll get you one. Temu. You can get one on discount. Temu.
Ooh.
Temu.
Matt, what's funny is Spencer actually kind of does.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot he does.
Don't apply. I don't need any more applications, all right?
Yeah, here's the thing. If you think we're talking about you on the radio, we are, but only in this segment. The rest of them are not real. Okay? Anyhow, it's the CJ Morgan Show, brought to you by George Soros and the Lizard People. See, I do stuff like that, and then it messes it all up.
I know you do.
I do love you.
Stop.
101X.
As if drinking overpriced liquid wasn't enough, now we have boba tea. Hey, today's the greatest because it's Boba Tea Day, and the only reason I picked it is because every day after we do Today's the Greatest, Spencer's always like, it's Peter Pan Peanut Butter Day. Why didn't you pick that? It's Pizza Hut Day. It's Twirl's Boba Tea Day. So go ahead, Spencer. Tell us about Boba Tea.
It's called Bubble Tea. Go
ahead.
You just cracked the mics, and I wasn't prepared.
No, go ahead.
Did I? Okay, sure. Bubble Tea was first invented April 30th.
Okay, good. Which is National Bubble Tea Day.
In the 1980s, the Taiwanese developed a beverage combining the freshness of natural tea, the wholeness and creaminess of milk, and the fun of delicious bubbles. They're called boba or pearls.
Yeah, they're little tapioca drops. I have a teen daughter, so I can tell you that we purchase a $9 boba tea far too often.
Yeah, and occasionally, if you get them delivered, they'll forget those big-ass straws, then you're screwed. What do you do then?
For some reason, somebody has stored a bunch of those boba tea straws here in the corner.
Oh, that's for when I do cocaine. I gotta have the big honking ones. I'm gonna be a little controversial here and say I don't like boba tea.
Yeah, I've never really tried. It doesn't look appealing.
It's not, and they're kind of chewy, and sometimes, you know, some of these places, they'll fancy it up, but it's just getting little treats. Like, they'll have little chunks of chocolate, little chunks of coconut. Sometimes the tapioca and the boba taste good, but here's my problem.
Okay.
Is what do you do with the little bubbles? They don't go away. You dump them in the front yard. They just sit there. They're not like gel blaster pellets that disappear. Are you supposed to throw them in the trash? Can you dump them down the garbage disposal? Like, where do they go?
I think ideally you're supposed to eat them.
But no one ever eats them all, and so every time people are like, oh, we're drinking boba tea, and then I got to clean out the cups, and I want to recycle the plastic, because
you know how when you go to, like, Best Buy, they have a battery recycling thing? If you go back to a milk tea house or whatever, they have boba recycling there.
They just put it back in and then serve it to the people the following day.
So you said the boba started
in
the 80s?
Or dump it in the toilet here at work. And then just leave it. Don't flush it. And then people will be really worried about someone they work with.
Actually,
rabbit pellets.
No, we have a better idea. We got fish tanks. So we'll just have little boba tanks.
Yeah. Okay.
Just have those everywhere. And you know what? That might mess with the salinity of the salt water and kill my little shrimp buddy.
Yeah.
In the 1980s, the Taiwanese developed this. It doesn't say too much about it here on this article on the National Day calendar.
Now, I remember.
But usually it's served in a sort of a milk tea, but there's lots of different types of teas you can do it with.
I think 2012 was when I remember it coming to Austin, because I was fairly new on the afternoon radio. And so I had someone from promotions come in and we tried some and we talked about it. And then what became fun was the old spit thing and spitting bobas at people. Now, that might be what you do with them. You have boba wars.
My thing about them is I don't like that the straws are big enough to suck up the tapioca. The thing that bothers me most
is when you accidentally get...
Well, this happens with like Sonic-style ice, too. Sometimes it's small enough and slips up the straw, and it bothers me because it'll either stop my drink flow from happening because it's too big, and I just want a regular-sized straw so I can sip all the delicious tea that's inside all the boba stuff. And then decide what I want to do with it after that. I don't know. Maybe I want to turn it into some sort of sand sculpture, pour sand into it, little boba things, and I don't know. What else can you do with it?
It's just a filler. It's a way to get less tea, like when they pack too much ice in a drink. That's it.
Really?
It takes away. Yeah.
Okay.
Happy Shots National fired. Boba Tea Day.
Now, CJ,
enjoy your gimmicky-ass drink.
I feel like I shouldn't even ask, but you probably haven't gotten us any boba tea to sample today.
Oh, no. I brought all my boba bubbles I've saved. You can have all those.
CJ's discount boba.
Whether you leave crying from laughter or crying for humanity, this show is guaranteed to make you a little moist. M-O-I-S-T. Can't believe they made me say that word. The CJ Morgan Show on 101X.
It's time for the purge.
It's time for Parent Pickup.
Welcome to the Parent Pickup with the dad, the all-father, Matt Bearden, here on the CJ Morgan Show.
I wanted to sound kind of spooky at the beginning and make you think it was like the purge. You know, like the one day you're allowed to kill everybody from the horror movies?
Yeah.
I'm not
easier said than done,
about that.
I hear.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the 90-90 purge method.
What's that?
This is the time of year. Kids are about to end school. I think this is one of those things that's helpful for everybody. How to get rid of stuff that's clutter. And if you have kids, like I have a son who I think is going to be a hoarder for sure. He doesn't like to let go of anything.
It's tough to do. I get that.
My daughter has a hard time a bit with it, too. And but they're talking about this new method. This is not the only method. I've brought a ton of these methods in here because I'm always looking for anything that might work. Here's what this one says. Have you used the item in the last 90 days? Will you use it in the next 90 days?
You don't know.
If the answer is to both, you get rid of it.
I agree, but you just don't know.
Except sometimes you do know.
Well,
and their point is, if you know you're not going to use it in the next 90 days, it's time to get rid of it.
Well, what sucks is I've had, like, you know, when you buy a TV mount back in the day, you have all the extra pieces. You're never going to use those, but you save them because every now and then I'll be like, oh, that little circle thing from that TV mount would fit perfectly for blah, 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 blah. And if you get rid of it, like one time I purged my entire costume collection and then I was like, man, I need a sailor hat and I don't have one. It's so hard because you always think you're going to need it. You never know.
Costume collection. That's just your closet, buddy. What are you talking about?
I'm lucky enough to have the radio station to bring all my costumes and extra dishes to, but it's a hard thing. So 90 days. 90 later.
Yeah, but I can look at certain things and I can go, my daughter's not going to go back to dolls, okay? She's keeping these dolls. She's not going back to dolls. She's 14.
But what happens when sometimes you're like 30 and you have a kid and you're like, oh, man, I wish I had all my Barbies?
No, you really don't. Here's something I would say about that. Then keep one.
Yeah.
Get rid of the rest. Something that's happened and it's worked so well for me is I have a thing that I'm very attached to, but I know I'm not going to use it. I have learned...
Your life.
I have learned to take a really nice photo of the item. I can always go back and look at that photo if I need to. Guess what?
Sure.
It turns out that I don't look in that. I have a album that's just photos of the things that I didn't want to get rid of. I don't go to it very often. It turns out that even these things that I thought I needed to have near me, that I thought I had a real attachment to, I don't. Because even with the whole picture, I rarely look at it.
Yeah,
it's a cool way of getting rid of things, but it's also, I like that it's very serial killer-y almost. You take a picture of something.
Yeah, I have an entire album, and what I should do is probably print them all out and then hang them on the wall above my
bed.
Yeah,
I got an album of
newspaper clippings.
Yeah, I was talking about that yesterday. If there's a newspaper clipping, a piece of paper, something like that, like I finally started taking a picture of it and then getting rid of the paper itself because... Why do I need that? One of the things, I still have all my notebooks from college, a lot of ones that I really were interested in, like
lots
my old history papers.
Lots of D drawings in there, I bet.
No, not really, man. I was in history classes, I was a prolific note taker. I thoroughly enjoyed that stuff.
That's I think, but it doesn't take up a ton of room. I have a box. It's currently
like comedy notebooks.
It's in my office, and it's filled with comedy notebooks. I don't want to get rid of it, but I have learned to kind of cull it to just one big. You know those boxes that you can buy at the end of Christmas, those plastic keepers or whatever?
Yeah.
It's just in there, and I have all my comedy notes going back 25 years.
You want to hear something crazy? I've started hoarding those containers because I bought a bunch when I moved. And then now I have shipping, or I have.
You need to at least take pictures of half of them.
I have plastic. I have plastic giant storage containers filled with storage containers.
Yeah,
that's how much my organizing problem is just in my brain.
You know what we should do now that we're talking about this? I just realized we should probably all three of us throw a match into the house, close the door, walk away, let it burn to the ground.
With the kids inside.
No.
I'm going to be using that house in 90 days at least.
Yeah, I'll send it to my parents.
I will
or
need
something.
A place to live. I think, you know, it's easier said than done, and it's a constant evolve. You constantly got to just think about it. Get rid of stuff a little bit at a time. Don't do it too much at once because that can be stressful if you tell a kid, like, hey, start putting the stuff in a box. Do a little bit at a time. Like, you don't get a new toy until you get rid of one old one. And again, back in the day when Marie Kondo was the huge thing and everyone started organizing and cleaning, she had like her third kid or something like that. And she's like, yeah, I give up.
I know. It's funny how quickly she walked away.
It's impossible.
From that. Anyway, have you used it in 90 days? Are you going to use it in 90 days? If it's a no to both.
Austin's number one beef, baby. The CJ Morgan Show on 101X.
Matt, are you just going to cry if I introduce some controversy into the recent sports betting issue?
No, I don't think so. Okay, well, don't you every week introduce some controversy into the sports betting?
I looked into the details, and what has been revealed to me.
Why are you pronouncing words like that?
Because he likes to do that.
I'm
going to
be honest. Matt is a sweet, lovable man. I heard him on his other show say controversy. Because we'll get words stuck in each other's heads, and I think we say that, and I heard him, and it made me laugh.
Oh, did you hit, did I?
And the greatest thing ever, sports bet coming up, we're going to introduce controversy, but let's go on this tangent. But the greatest thing ever is another word that started kind of on this show that has become part of a lexicon years ago during Christmas when I was very new with my current lover. We were, you know, I had the little paralyzed dog Miles, and she has a very like proper Southern mom that went to A&M and was a teacher and all that. And she goes, oh my goodness, look at Miles, his little dinger's just hanging out.
I knew it was going
to
be dinger.
And the word dinger, Matt and I love using it. Yeah. I heard you also, because I listen to your other shows sometimes when like there's literally nothing else to listen to.
Dinger has literally entered
into. It's so good, right?
My kids say dinger now.
It's so good. I love that word so much and that we have like a friend. We have a radio lexicon of things between like all this that have just evolved. And it's great.
I hope dinger becomes a much bigger thing.
I wish it would, man.
I told my son.
I hope the people out there use dinger.
I saw my son one time. Dinger's another name for your parts until you become a man, and then it's a donger.
It's time to drop some punishment Plinko chips to figure out whose buns are going to be spanked. And I don't think I lost the sports bet, Matt. Let's start with that. Before we drop Plinko, we got to figure out who's dropping the Plinko.
Spencer, I'm looking at you. Because this feels a little bit like one of those things that CJ does where the rules change midway through.
Possibly. Let's hear him out. I'm not sure what's going on exactly. I didn't pay any attention yesterday, and now I'm still confused anyway. So.
Do y'all remember when Nick came in yesterday? He's like, what bets did y'all do again? I don't remember. He didn't remember the proper ones, and we bet on Stars Hockey. They were playing the Vegas Golden Knights, and you went with Vegas. I went with Texas. I went with the Stars. I went with Dallas. And then the tiebreaker that we did, which was wind speed, I won. I got closest. The wind speed was 120. You picked 420. I picked 69. So
no recollection of this.
Well, there was a recollection. I asked Diego Fagundes, would he score a goal, get an assist, or NA? And you said NA. I said he'd have an assist. He didn't have either. So I do actually lose this week's sports.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Really getting my butt puckered on that one.
See, I just wanted to be thorough. Let's drop some punishment chips and see what Matt's going to be doing to me this week.
What do we have on the board?
It's the same as last week. We have 10 to get in, which is where you just pay $10. Minifig Mash, which is you take a minifig and then you mash it up your backside. I made that part up. I don't remember exactly what it is.
We got the bean bath, it looks like, which where, whoever gets that gets to take a bath in a bunch of refried beans.
I think that bean bath is just to keep you from trying to go over there. The wench drench and is where it landed. The wench drench, that's where he has to wear a wench's outfit, then pour water all over himself, or I pour water all over himself. And he's also landed on the glizzy drizzle.
Which one is that,
That's
CJ
the one with
Landis?
The drill. He's got to put a hot dog
on, a
on
drill.
The head of a drill and then brush his teeth with it, which I think is kind of painless, but will be funny to watch.
I forgot drizzle is being spoken in Snoop Dogg terms.
Correct.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
Drizzle, drizzle.
Like the glizzy drizzle. Well, once again, we did not land on IMK Holio, which is the one we're really excited about.
It was doing a line of ketamine.
And then around saying K Holio. Like a cornhole.
Oh, I didn't know to do that. You had to do that part. I know that I landed on it 1 week, and then I did ask around, hey, where does anybody get ketamine?
And your friends were like, Matt, I'm 50. Ask my kid. Like, I don't know. Well, that's going to be the punishments this
week.
We'll
get ketamine one of these days on this show.
But make sure you test first. A lot of deaths recently because of bad drugs.
Well, let's not
bad batch came
unfunny.
In the city, all right? Well, I just hate I want people to be safe.
Yeah, we want people
if they're going to party hard,
yeah.
Be spitting up some pink boogers the next day.
Is that
or however you do ketamine. I don't know. Hey, enough drug talk, more sports talk. I was kind of hoping just for the radio bit to do a Lego My Lego or a minifig mash because I was remembering our old punishments, and both of those involved Matt smashing one of my Lego sets that I have here at the station. And I remember one of our most brutal ones was the first like big one we did, which was the Lego walk, where you had to. I had a little pile of Legos on the floor. Then we brought in a giant tub, and you had to walk on them. And I was doing some organizing. I was putting some away, and I was like, "Man, why are these all bent and broke?" It's like, oh, yeah.
I had to walk on
him. Yeah, man, I had to walk on him. So I want to incorporate that once again.
We did a crawl on them one day, which was even more brutal, I think, on the knee pads.
Oh, because the knees
the
hit?
Yeah.
The knee was pretty brutal.
And anytime we do anything Lego involved, does that mean it's a tax write-off for me? It's a work thing?
Absolutely it is. That purchase, you get to write off.
So, and also, the standard deduction is $13,500. So for me to get a good tax write-off, I'd have to spend more than that. I'd have to spend about $15,000 in Legos, right?
So explain to your lover that you're not just a Lego addict. You're trying to help financially, trying to help further the two of your lives.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great explanation. And, of course, she dropped the Plinko chip and landed on me as punishment. Mine will be Winch Drench, which I'll have to borrow some of her clothing, little corset, or Glizzy Drizzle. You can vote online. Should I dress up like a wench, get soaked, or put a hot dog on a drill and eat it?
Why not both?
Why? I don't want that video going around, man.
That's what I want. Yeah. I want it going around.
Bro, people need to pay for that if they want to see it.
Funny, random, weird. The CJ Morgan Show. 101X.
Have you ever been trapped in a boring conversation? Just one you can't get out? I'm sober now, so when I go to parties or bars, it's hard, man.
Really?
It is a lot. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's really difficult to interact with people. And I don't want to be a jerk, but I get stuck talking to people. Our old radio friend Charlie Hodge used to call them conversation headlocks. And he was the master at if you approached him and someone was talking his ear off, he'd be like, oh, yeah, CJ loves Slipknot. And then we
just walk right on off.
Yeah, he'd slip the headlock. But most Americans say they're regularly trapped in boring conversations. A few know how to slip out of them. And, Matt, I've noticed that your wife even gives you crap for this. In fact, I was joking with Spencer before you came in here because you were talking to one of our sales guys, and you were just talking. You're not the person that initiates the conversation headlock, but you will sit and talk to anyone for a very long time. I've seen you at events. You're very nice. You're very friendly, but it's like,
I can't say no. I can't cut it off.
Yeah, you got to move on to the next. You'll have after shows, you have a line of people waiting to talk to Matt, and you're just talking to some guy about farming equipment. But
hey,
do you ever feel that? Do you guys ever have that moment where you're like, man, I hate going to parties or doing stuff because I got to talk to all these people?
I don't. My wife does supremely. My wife hates small talk. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I'm not bad at it. So I guess it's like a way to pass the time, maybe.
It was a lot easier when I was drinking, but I have trouble now because we'll have friend groups, and not only am I not drinking, but I'll feel sorry for people because I know everyone avoids them. And it's like, oh man, this is the guy that's like, he's like a sovereign citizen libertarian, and he just always brings up annoying stuff. But I feel bad because no one will talk and hang with that dude in the friend group or someone who's like, what, whatever their annoying thing is. And I'm like, man, I got to go engage myself and talk to him. And then I'm like, dang, I'm the only, we're on the opposite end of the party where everyone's at. And I'm stuck with this person. I don't know how to get out of here. And I can't just be like, oh, I got to go get another beer. sometimes I'll just be like, I'm going to go over there now. And then I was doing that funnily. Humorously, I guess. Right. I'd be real weird and walk away.
I should go. Just
but then I realize, like, that's rude.
Sure, well, maybe. If it's one of those libertarian guys, you can be like, you just ask him if you're being detained or not.
Am I being detained? Am I being detained?
It's actually a pretty good.
Yeah, and the answer is yes, you are.
Yeah, I going out to parties was way more fun when I was single because I was looking for more friends and I was looking for someone I could maybe date. So I had objectives going out, right?
Yeah.
I was newer to town and meeting people like, oh, you like this and maybe we can hang and do that. Something, you know what I mean? Whatever it was. But my days are full right now. I've got two kids that are growing up at the house. I've got a dying dog. I've got a wife, car note, mortgage. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I'm already annoyed by everything else in life. It's like I'm not looking for any. I don't want to add anything else to my life.
Plenty of goals. Yeah.
Unless you have a hack about a quicker way to change a lawnmower blade, I don't think. that's how boring my life has gotten at this point.
And you know, my technique is to just slowly start inching yourself into a different part of the room. Like if there's a doorway, you can start like trying to inch your way around the doorway. While also trying to reiterate that you're like, well, I'm going to, because like a lot of what happens to me is I'm too polite and they keep cutting me off when I'm trying to say I'm about to go.
Yeah.
And they apparently still have more to say.
The flip side is every once in a while you meet somebody who's super, super interesting. They have a great story, how they ended up where they are in their life, and it's an absolute joy. So I guess maybe that's what I'm always shooting for. I'm always, I'm chasing that dragon of a really great conversation.
I am.
I've learned. Thanks to my lover. She's like, yeah, just be more present in this. I'm like, I am present. And that's how I'm aware of my body and how annoyed and how much I want to get out of this. But I've learned, I've really just like started trying to exhaust people by asking them questions about themselves. People love to talk about themselves.
Yes.
And instead of doing that conversation thing where I think a lot of people do superficially at parties or events, it's like you're waiting your turn to talk.
Right.
And I will say, like, I know I love attention. I love this stuff. I don't mind being up on the stage being the clown, but in one-on-one and group conversation, it makes me very uncomfortable and awkward, and I hate talking about the radio. I don't want to talk ever about anything radio unless I'm correcting someone that doesn't know what the hell they're saying.
Can I give you a suggestion for ending conversations?
Yes.
I think if you refer to Lisa as your lover... that's a good way to do it because every time you call her your lover, it makes me want to stop talking or listening.
It works.
My lover and I are thinking about pleasuring each other's sensations.
All right.
It's over. We did it. Hey, we're letting the listeners out of this. Oh, wait, they can just change the station.
Austin's own Lego man. The CJ Morgan Show on 101X.
When you're chatting online, use these words instead of these ones. You don't want to be choogy.
The internet has never been so easy.
The internet. Hey, mom and dad and kids, you want to have Riz? Well, you got to say this, not that. Welcome to the internet where we talk about things happening on the internet. And a poll of Gen Zers and millennials came up with what words you're using instead of which old boomer ones you shouldn't be using. YOLO and LMFAO are definitely out, already lame. Here's the problem with this article. It's already lame itself.
Right.
YOLO was 24. It's 10 years old.
Yeah.
No one is using that and hasn't for 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
When they say YOLO, it's usually tongue-in-cheek because of how old it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, see, I know this old term.
Judging from reading this clickbait, I don't think they knew it.
Oh, man.
But let's learn some new words and see if Matt knows because Matt and his wife, they have two young kids. One's a teen, one's about to be a teen.
They got their finger on the pulse of what's cool.
They
got
to figure out what this stuff means. Instead of YOLO, you'd say DIFTP. Do it for the plot. of your life story.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh God, I hate that one already. YOLO was already a bit outrageous at the time, but yeah, God, how do you make YOLO even worse?
Instead of KK, like, all right, sure, things like that. This, I love this one because I used to use this one when I was like in middle school, and Chewy and I say it to each other, but bet. Yeah, it means, okay, you're on board, bet, you know. I've just enjoyed that one because it used to be a part of my, like, let me hold that for a minute. You just steal stuff.
All right.
Instead of LMFAO, again, like 10 years old, use IJ Bowl. Matt, you know this one.
IJ Bowl.
I just bust out laughing.
Burst out laughing. I-J-B-O-L. Instead of saying rolling on the floor, R-O-F-L, send a skull emoji.
Dead.
No, dude.
Dead ass.
Go on, this is fun.
Instead of spelling out great or GR8, you say something slaps now. Also like 5-6 years old, not older.
My daughter would actually argue and say, you don't say slaps, that's over now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's way over.
She would just say it's really giving.
It's also like...
Or she would say it eats.
Even with these young Gen Z and Gen Alpha kids that are using this stuff, y'all are still behind. Like, young white kids that are still behind hip urban slang. So you're not cool, kids.
It happens faster and faster with every generation, I feel like.
My friends and I used to just make stuff up, and it was pretty great.
Yeah,
and then
that's how
we would see how to get other people doing it. Fire is not cool. Don't say something's fire.
Why not?
It's lit.
Man, lit is cool again?
Man, even this.
Everything comes back around, I guess. That was a big time, like 90s saying.
Is Trill on there? Can we, of that cool, like 2000 slang?
I'm trying to find things I like. Instead
West
of gross,
Coast.
Saying something's ick.
Ugh.
I don't know. See, I always go back to the P's. Pervert, Peckerwood, Pleasure, Peck. What are my 5 P's? I forget.
I didn't know you had that many P's.
There were a lot. This one's pretty good. Instead of calling people crazy, say they're DeLulu.
I hate that one so much.
It just seems like a good insult.
DeLulu. I hate it so much. Why are you trying to make it sound cute?
Now,
DeLulu.
This one
That's like what a British person would say, and we hate British people, don't we?
It's DeLulu. This one, you got to do in your office what's called the HR lady test. If you know the, like, upstairs ladies that on like when you have a happy hour, they love to get margaritas, get a little silly.
Mm-hmm, sure.
If they're saying, you know, never say 411. No one says, give me the 411. We don't know what that means anymore. But this doesn't pass the HR lady test because if you're 52-year-old mother of three, loves to get the margs and hang out, HR lady says,
hey,
spill
stop.
The
You're
tea.
Making me horny, baby.
What's the tea? Give me the tea. Spill the. If they're saying that, it's no longer hip and cool.
Okay.
So don't use spill the tea. You know, nothing is cool anymore.
I actually kind of like it with some of the older ladies from upstairs going, what's going on? What's the tea? It makes me feel like.
No, it is fun, but I'm just saying, like, if this article's trying to tell you how to be hip using internet slang, and also if you use it, like, once we started using Chugi, even though we're using it ironically, that word's dead now.
It is fun.
That word is bad.
Sometimes when ladies upstairs say, hey, what's the tea? I like to say, oh, you want to hear some hot goss? And then they get really excited.
It is fun to do. I liked it when we were having a little picnic at your house, Matt, and we were explaining to your wife what Riz was.
Right.
And it was me and the two, like, teenagers.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, this makes me feel like a weirdo. Just knowing what...
Hey, you can't have fun if you're a Rizzler.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, your ability to see and not see is going to be a worldwide epidemic by 2050.
Greetings, listener. It is now time for Weird or Wired.
Is it weird? Is it wired? Today we're going to talk about the third eye.
Do you know what, guys? Know what myopia is?
It sounds familiar.
You're very myopic means you have a small view of the world and things.
It's nearsightedness.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And do you guys know the difference between nearsightedness and farsightedness?
It's the opposite of what it sounds like.
Right, so if you're nearsighted...
It's like stage left.
You see things closer to you much easier.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. Farsighted means you can see things farther away, but up close it's harder to see.
Well, guess what? About half of the global population will need corrective lenses to offset myopia by 2050?
I'm going to guess it's because of their phones. Because a lot of people tell you to go outside and stare off into the forest to get your vision to do that. Is it because of screens?
People want to make it that. They say there's no single myopia gene. The causes of myopia tend to be quite a few.
Okay,
and a lot of them are more behavioral than genetic. But remember, people were still needing and were nearsighted even before there were phones.
Yeah,
it turns out that we need to be able to do things at about an arm's length, not just phones. You know,
especially my floppy dong. Got to be way out there. Got to be able to see it. It's just a large blur. Go on.
You done?
Yeah, sorry.
And so anyway.
go ahead.
Threw me off a little bit
sorry
there.
Sorry, I do
yeah,
that.
I was expecting.
It turns out you need to be able to read and write and stuff that you do in school.
Yeah.
That kind of work that we do at a desk length, that's also about the length that causes some eye issues.
That's frustrating.
It is frustrating because do we want to stop learning?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I want to learn at my own pace.
Also, just like whittling or anything else that you would do in your hands
literally
in front of your face.
Anything cool you can make. Thank God there's AI art now.
One of the reasons I brought this in is they found this out by doing a very long-term study. And the study was they took a bunch of chickens and they built tiny helmets for the chickens. And on those helmets, they put a little pair of goggles. And the goggles had different lenses. It turns out that when you see a little blurry, your eyes will actually grow in size to try to bring in more light and correct themselves.
Oh, wow.
The problem is that when you have a little larger eye, then that causes more blurriness, and the more blurriness causes the eye to grow a little larger.
Like I said, I got a big old blurry helmet that I can see and reach.
Quick advice, don't Google chicken with tiny helmets, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Going to find my website.
Well,
I was just trying to find some images.
Well, and I brought it up partly because I wanted you guys to think of these chickens with tiny helmets or whatever.
Which are adorable.
People might blame new technologies like smartphones and too much screen time for hurting our eyes. But the truth is, activities as valuable as reading and a good book will affect your eyesight. So it seems like a lot of things will be driving that. This is going to go into the weird, I guess. It's certainly not wired. I'm not
stoked
just
happening.
About this. But if you want to invest in an eyeglass company, you could make a whole lot of money in the future. In fact, a lot of you might be like, hey, how come I see so many eyeglass companies that are constantly advertising to me? It's because a lot of them are trying to get in the business because they realize, oh, this isn't going away anytime
soon. I want them out of the business, and that's why I went to Man Eye Institute Laser LASIK.
Oh, wow.
800 My Vision or maneye.com, official sponsor of the CJ Morgan Show.
Did you just fold a little extra reed into my section?
Yeah, dude. They're paying me money.
Yeah.
So that's number one.
Okay, like that.
Number two, they helped so many family and friends see. Number three, I'm sure someone that works there has heard my dong jokes I make, and they're like, you know what? Let's still advertise with them. Let's
Even
go ahead. People
can't stop making dumb dinger jokes.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, when are we going to get robot eyes? I thought we were getting close enough to the future.
The optic kind of moving ones?
Right. Things that, although I guess the issue is, you know, getting it to work.
Infections?
Well, yeah. And, like, actually work with your brain.
LeVar Burton. Ask him.
Jordy LaForge.
He was blind, actually.
Yeah, he was born that way. Maybe it's Maybelline. Another proud sponsor of the CJ Morgan Show. Hey, have you got pimples?
Any advice for us, I guess, Mac, moving forward with this information?
I tanked your segment.
I'm sorry. There is no advice here. I brought this in because I wanted you to picture tiny chickens with goofy goggles on. The whole study, yeah. I was looking for like the answer. There's no answer. It's just that, hey, all of us, as humanity as a whole, our vision's going to get worse and worse and worse. Just suck it up.
I was gonna say, imagine being the intern at that science lab, having to be the one to put the actual helmets on the little chickens.
Just when it's very steampunk. Did you know? Woo! Took it out of me. Hey, it's our learning segment where we teach you things. Huh. And you know they're true because we say, did you know? Is this just a dumb segment where we find pre-typed out random weird facts online already and just spout them out with a silly cliche catchphrase that our management was like, guys, that's a bad segment. Don't do it. And then we go to the grocery store and someone's like, did you know? It's a captain.
I don't know what happened. What are you talking about? I'm scared.
Talking about truth and facts. Here's how it goes. Did you know? A blue whale's tongue can weigh as much as Matt's mom. and their heart can weigh as much as a car.
How much is that? Mass moms.
The tongue alone on a blue whale can weigh as much as an elephant, and their heart can weigh as much as a car.
That's pretty
they
wild.
They are huge.
I don't know mass mom weighed that much.
It needs a whale tongue to lick her butt. For sure. Let's start over. I'm sorry, Matt. I didn't mean to make fun of you. You know, I'm talking about the royal we when making fun of your mom.
You really got it out for
him. She loves rich people being on her. Anyhow, let's start over.
Okay.
Here we go.
Did you know the actress Gwendolyn Christie? You guys familiar with her?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, exactly. She does not know her birthday or her age.
Whoa, that's cool.
Just like CJ's mom doesn't know how many men she's been with.
Or when I was born or my age.
Just wow. Your father is.
One of the many. Okay.
Okay.
Every Did You Know has to have your mom a joke in it. So go ahead, Spencer.
Man, okay. Did you know? You guys remember that Super Mario movie, the original one, the Super Mario Brothers with John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins?
I do actually remember
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Did you
Loved
know during
it.
The filming it's of bad. That movie back in 1992, Hoskins and Leguizamo were so frustrated with the film's lack of direction that they drank scotch in between takes, leading to an on-set accident in which Leguizamo drunkenly crashed a truck and Hoskins broke his hand.
Love it. Did he break it in CJ's mom?
Yeah.
See, that wouldn't work because that would indicate that she's got a very, like, formed time.
No, he fell down her hole.
Yeah!
trying to catch himself and broke his hand.
Punch his way out. The first vertebrate to mate in space orbit was not humans, but a type of Japanese rice fish. A batch of healthy fry hatched on the space shuttle Columbia all the way back in 1994, which was also the last time Matt Bearden mated. He didn't have sex. He didn't get to have sex.
That's great. Tom Hanks. Did you know?
Did you know Tom Hanks
is an avid supporter of NASA's manned space program. He originally wanted to be an astronaut, but according to him, he did not have the math. Speaking of manned, have you met CJ's mom?
Ayo!
she's got her own orbit. You know, walks too close to a gravel pit, they're going to start floating around like some moons.
Did you know?
Do we know?
The origin of the word crap is medieval, and it's just a coincidence that the man who mass-produced the first toilets was named Thomas Crapper.
Yeah. Where I was actually, you know, there's a lot you could go there. It's not, I can't do my own mom jokes. Y'all have to do them.
You sure you don't do your own mom? He joked.
That's really rude.
Say, never mind.
Guys, did you know? If you've ever heard the song Closing Time by Semisonic, it's not about a bar closing. It's about everyone asking Matt's mom to close her legs because there are way too many babies in there. And
how's she going to get the babies out, though?
Well, Matt's still a baby. That's my joke. That's the end.
Did you know? Onion soup is what we call your mom's crotch.
Hey,
also, it was given to Vikings.